This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Got you covered on both ends of the dial in DC and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. We're always on the available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then to pick up right where you left off. And so we are live and local here until 12 noon. I will get into the NBA. We've got, what, two games left for most teams before the NBA play-in tournament. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but play-in tournaments April 16th to 18th. I'm so sick of the NBA SoFi play-in tournament. Just get rid of it. Control-Alt-Delete the play-in tournament. Give me a real postseason again, all right? If you're in 10th place, you don't sniff the playoffs. I'm sorry. This is not child's play. It's not a youth league. Come on now, NBA. Go back to a smaller regular season. Limit the amount of teams that get into the postseason because 20 out of the 30 is a joke. We'll get into the NBA later on in the show today. I got some takes on the Western Conference playoffs. We'll go around the NFL. I want to talk about the quarterbacks on the move. Where will Aaron Rodgers play? And the rest of the movement and news from the National Football League ahead of the NFL draft. But right now, let's check in with Augusta and the 2025 Masters Tournament. Our golf coverage is presented by Golfdom. Golfdom is fully stocked with all the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, and accessories with Golfdom in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. The leaderboard update has Justin Rose at 8-under, Bryson DeChambeau 7-under. Both will tee off at 2:40 p.m. today. Rory McIlroy is who I am rooting for in this year's Masters, live from Augusta. He is 6-under, same with Corey Connors. That is your top four in the leaderboard of the Masters right now in Augusta, as most people are going to tee off right around 10:15 to 10:45, and the leaders at 2:40 and 2:30 p.m. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. We've got Ben running the ones and twos, and we previewed this. It's time for Mock Draft Madness here on AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in for Mock Draft Madness, 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, that sounds good, Max. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So here's how it works. You call in 1-800-636-1067. We'll get you on the line. I've got a mock draft ready to roll, and you will let me know who you would like to select for the Washington Commanders. You are Adam Peters in this situation. Let's go to Ahmad in Rockville for Mock Draft Madness. What's going on, Ahmad?
Hey, what's going on, A-Wad?
I'm doing pretty good today. You are on the clock, number 29 overall. Here are your options for Washington. You could take an offensive tackle at 29 overall. You could take a wide receiver. The board has fallen to you where the best player available is one of the best offensive tackles. All right, I'm not going to say the name, so you can come up with whoever you'd like. But your second option is a wide receiver. Those are the two best options at 29 overall. What position are you going with and why?
I think I'm going to go wide receiver. I'm going to go Jaden Higgins. I just like this tape. I know his stock is moving up a little bit now. I'm drawing a blank on what school he goes to. But I know his name is Jaden Higgins. He's about a 6'4 wide receiver. I think I would lean towards that because I don't, based off of what I've seen, I don't think any tackles will be worth the first round pick. I guess if we got lucky, but I don't see any tackles being worth that first round pick. And I thought Jaden may be a second round pick, but when I looked at the receiver talent, I think he might be the best overall big receiver. I think we need a big receiver, and I think he might be the best one in the draft, honestly.
Ahmad, the phone is ringing. You have an opportunity to trade back. Are you finalizing this pick, or are you trading back?
I think I'm going to finalize it because when I look at our roster currently, we're kind of we've answered the wide receiver question for this year. But looking forward past this year, I think we still have some questions there. We don't know what Debo is going to look like. If he has a great season, that's great, but then he's going to want a lot of money. Terry is getting older, so I think we just need to put some youth into that position, and I think if Jaden's there, I think I would select that. I would look to trade back probably in the second round.
All right, Ahmad, you're locked in. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Zeke in Southeast D.C. Zeke, you're on the fan with AWOD for Mock Draft Madness.
Hey, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Do you understand
right.
how the game
well,
works?
You know that, yep. Well, you know that old football adage that says offense put butts in seats, but defense wins championships. So I'm going for a defense. And also, look, we were last year. Let me ask you a question, Adam. Were we one game away from the championship because of our offense or because of our defense? Which one was weaker?
We were one game away because the offense was very good. The defense let us down at the end of the day.
That's why I want to improve my defense. Our offense, I think, is going to be just as good. So I'm looking for – actually, I'm going to get a defensive player, but I'm hoping Cincinnati calls me, and I will give them the 29th and the 61st pick for Hendrickson. Now my defense is set.
Well, that's Cincinnati has not called, Zeke, as you are Adam Peters for Mock Draft Madness, but you're on the clock at 29 overall. Yep. Here are your two options. You're lucky. The board has fallen to you. The top two players available are defensive, but they're not an edge rusher. You have a defensive tackle or a safety. Which position are you picking?
I'm going back then. I'm going back. I'm hoping to trade back.
You got 90 seconds. The phone's not ringing, Zeke. What are you doing?
It's not ringing? Okay, no. give me the lineman, man, in the trenches. Give me the defensive lineman.
All right, so why do you want a defensive tackle when we've already done a pretty good job bolstering up
you
the defensive tackle?
Listen, you can never, ever have too many good defensive players. I think that's our biggest need. Now, let me. The reason why I say that, because the ones we have on the line now, they're not proven. We're not sure if they're going to be the right one. So why not get one player now that might be your starter? The other thing I look at is we got too many mouths to feed on offense. Jaden's a weapon. Ertz a weapon. Terry's a weapon. Debo's going to be a weapon. You got too many mouths to feed on offense. Another offensive player is just going to be on the bench.
Well, I hope not.
That's my feeling.
Yeah. Good call, Zeke.
What second or third round is a starter? Not too many.
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably where we end up.
No,
okay?
No. It's a good point. I appreciate you chiming in, man. Thank you. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go behind the glass here to Ben. You are on the clock at 29 overall, and the board has fallen really nice to you because both Emeka Egbuka of Ohio State and running back Omarion Hampton of North Carolina are both available. I've seen Commanders fans like both those guys. Are you going wide receiver or running back at 29 overall?
I'm going wide receiver, personally.
Okay.
And the reason for this is I don't really see the value at this point in taking the running back in the first round. I feel like the running back class is very deep, as we've touched on in this show multiple times. I think if you can get another weapon, as one of the callers, I think it was Ahmad that brought it up, that we need to get a little bit more youth in the wide receiver room. Terry's getting up there. I know he's due. They're talking about an extension right now. But it would be great to pair someone alongside, and maybe a Luther Burden or someone of that caliber. There's a lot of running backs and guys that I've personally covered, at my time at University of Maryland. A guy for a running back that I was looking at potentially in the second or third round is Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. That guy is an absolute beast. Led the Big Ten in rushing by, I believe, over 300, 400 yards, had 21 touchdowns on the ground. If that guy's available in the second or third round, I'm all in on him. But for the first round, I would take the wide receiver or running back.
Yeah, I mean, running back is so deep. Like, the guy you just mentioned, how much better is Omarion Hampton than him? How much better is Hampton than Travion Henderson? Right? I do think with how deep running back is, I would go wide receiver. And then I also think, you know, you look at what we have currently at the wide receiver room and what to expect out of them. All right, so Noah Brown's back. Are we going to get the same Noah Brown? I think he probably takes a step back. I think it's unfair to expect Terry McLaurin to have the exact same season. Right? We've been waiting his entire career for him to have a season like this in terms of touchdowns.
Absolutely.
I think he falls back in terms of touchdowns, but maybe his chemistry with Jaden improves and he has more catches and more yards. But, you know, when it comes to the red zone, it might be a guy that is not on the roster yet if we draft a running back. It could be Debo. We don't know how much Debo Samuel is going to be involved in the red zone. That could be a threat there. Zach Ertz started to eat into some of Terry McLaurin's targets in the red zone. So I think for touchdowns for the wide receivers, McLaurin might take a step back. Maybe you get something from Debo. I think Noah Brown's numbers will probably be similar. McCaffrey needs to take a step forward. Will Washington get anything from Michael Gallup? I'd say don't get your hopes up that he even makes the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is definitely room for the wide receiver room to be improved. Ben, let's roll through the rest of my mock draft madness here to close out this segment. So I'm with you. If it's wide receiver versus running back, I'm going wide receiver.
Okay.
If it's offensive tackle versus tight end, like what's his name, Colson Loveland? Everybody's obsessed with him, the Michigan guy. Would you be interested? Offensive tackle versus tight end.
I need a tight end, personally. I think
really?
I think they've done a lot on the offensive line this year. I'm really happy. Obviously, you go out and get Laremy Tunsil, a player who is all-pro caliber at the left tackle position to protect Jaden Daniels for the foreseeable future. That's so massive. I know the easy move that a lot of people expected was you kick Brandon Coleman in a guard. However, we're hearing reports that he's probably going to be starting out playing right tackle, which I'm not too sure how I feel about that. I feel like he's better suited off as a guard. However, I think the team lacks a dynamic pass-catching tight end. Not to say that Ertz didn't have a great year despite his age last year, and he really came on strong, especially in the postseason. I need to see more out of Ben Sinnott, and if it's not him, I need to find somebody that's dynamic. Somebody like Tyler Warren, because I watched him play a lot this year, and that guy is unstoppable. I think if you get Jaden Daniels a tight end that just consistently gets open, he's a threat in the red zone at all times. They're going to be a really tough offense to stop. And Warren is the guy that you can give him the ball out of the shotgun. He's a former quarterback, and he was initially committed to Virginia Tech as a quarterback. But this is just wishful thinking because he's not going to be there at 29, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you just can't convince me tight end, right? Because you're also kind of saying, all right, Ben Sinnott, it didn't work out. Like, it's kind of a slap in the face to Ben Sinnott if you draft a tight end. You paid Ertz, you paid Bates. I agree with your take of Jaden would be better with an unbelievable tight end. Everybody would be better with the Travis Kelce. Maybe that's an option for next year. I think for this year, there's so many other positions of need. We'll continue with mock draft madness. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And we are inching closer to the 2025 NFL Draft, 12 days away, Thursday, Friday, and next Saturday. Who should Washington select? Will the Commanders be able to trade back? It's mock draft season on AWOD Radio. We are live and local in the nation's capital. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. If you want to participate in mock draft madness, chime in right now, 1-800-636-1067, or tweet me at AWOD Radio. Jeff says, I really want Washington to trade back. Getting an elusive running back will make the Commanders run the ball because they will have to feature the running back and the offensive line. Without that, it will put more pressure on Jaden to run again next year, which we don't need as much. LifeWave tweets me, AY, there's no way I'm trading a first and a second round pick for an edge rusher the wrong side of 30, and you've got to pay him. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read on air. Call in 1-800-636-1067 as we continue through mock draft madness here on AWOD Radio. We've gone through a few position battles already, but wide receiver versus running back, I mentioned. Same with Ben. I would go wide receiver if that was the best available on the board at 29 overall. If it's offensive tackle versus tight end, I'm going offensive tackle just because tight end is the only position that I have circled as we don't need to improve on. So as we look at mock draft madness here on AWOD Radio, tight end versus offensive tackle, I'm going tackle. I don't think it's, you know, the biggest position of need for Washington, but it would be great to get some depth there. And if we're talking about best player available between these two positions, that's what I would go with. If we look at another one, running back versus edge rusher, that is the one where I'm going edge. And that's just simply because of how big of a position of need that is for Washington. There's going to be quite a few edge rushers that are available to Washington. It feels like anytime I do a mock draft, Donovan Ezeraku is available. That tells me that he's not the best player available at 29. Who's going to fall to Washington? But if it's between running back and edge in the first round, I would go edge rusher. There's just enough running backs that we could get someone good in the second round. Heck, you could see Cam Scadabo go in the third or early in the fourth, maybe even to Washington. I don't really like Cam Scadabo, but he's certainly an interesting prospect. So running backs could be available, definitely at 61, and maybe even in the fourth round, or if they trade back into the third round, that could be an opportunity for them to get a running back there. Mock draft madness continues with defensive tackle versus linebacker. To me, it's linebacker. Ben, you want to chime in on this one? Defensive tackle, I think they've done a good job. You need more from Johnny Newton this year. You need Payne to stay healthy and contribute. But linebacker, I just feel like, well, number one, they might be running more of a 3-4, a traditional 3-4 this year, which means your edge rusher could be an outside linebacker. I love Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner. We need a couple more of those pieces. And is there an opportunity to get a Frankie Louvu-type character in the draft? I think that would be, that's the Jihad Campbell if he falls to you. So if it's defense tackle versus linebacker, I'm going linebacker.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one because I think Adam Peters and co. are actually pretty high on Jordan McGee, albeit we didn't see a whole lot of him because of some issues with injury, but I think they're banking on him being healthy this year, him being impactful. I'm looking more at defensive tackle, and not because we didn't see enough out of Johnny Newton. I thought he had a pretty solid rookie year, and I think he's going to get better as the years progress here. But I think Daron Payne might be meeting the same fate that we saw with Jonathan Allen this year. I think, honestly, if they could have it, you know, either way, they probably would have rather gotten rid of Payne instead of Jonathan Allen. Of course, Payne had too big of a dead cap hit this year. So I think after this offseason, we might see something similar where Commanders try to shop Daron Payne and ultimately leading to his release. I think this is a really deep draft when it comes to defensive tackle. I think they do need to get even bigger up front despite some of the additions that they've made, which I think have been really good, to Adam Peters' credit. I think they've done a nice job addressing the trenches, trying to get bigger.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they went D-tackle. I think, like, my goal for this offseason was, you kind of mentioned it, to get bulkier, to get heavier at the line of scrimmage, to win in the trenches more. That's the one thing this team really did struggle at. They were great on fourth down. A lot of the times, though, wasn't fourth and one up the middle, right? They had to get tricky with those things. So getting better in the trenches offensively and defensively, certainly on their to-do list for this offseason. How about this one for you, Ben? Mock draft madness. The best player available at 29 is not an edge rusher, a wide receiver, or a running back. It is a safety and a cornerback. I'll let you go first here.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I think I'm going to go safety, actually.
Okay.
And, you know, I think they have solid pieces in play at corner. I like the addition of Jonathan Jones. I really like that they brought back Noah Igbe. I thought he had a really solid year and stepped up for them in the slot. I'm interested to see what they're planning to do with Sainer still. Do we see more of him back in the slot, his natural position? Does he stay outside with Lattimore, who I expect to be better this year? I think he gets the full offseason to kind of work within this Commander's coaching staff, get used to that defense, and get fully healthy, which is the biggest thing. I think safety at time, they still struggled in some areas last year. Of course, you had Jeremy Chinn, who's now with Las Vegas. He had a good year, but, you know, I think there was room for improvement. Will Harris, I think, is a nice addition. He's a hard-hitting guy, but I'd like to see a safety that's just a playmaker, a guy that goes and picks the ball off. I feel like we've been lacking that for really quite some time. The last guy I can remember that was a big-time playmaker as a safety was DJ Swearinger, and that, you know, that whole honeymoon phase kind of ended pretty quickly.
That ended pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So the thing is, Quan Martin might be able to be that guy, and we just don't know how good Will Harris could be for the Washington Commanders and really what role he's going to play. I mean, for his last team, he played a little bit of everything on the defensive side of the ball. So I do think it's more important they get a safety. So I'll agree with you. But just to play devil's advocate here, does anybody actually trust that Marshon Lattimore will improve, right? I mean, a lot of the fan base is ready to throw him away already.
I know. It's crazy, though.
I'm in the case that I think he will be better on a full offseason to be healthy and not be rushed into this situation. But is Marshon Lattimore being better, is that like Pro Bowl-level corner anymore? I don't think so. So if you could get a Pro Bowl-level corner that you think can develop into that, at 29, it would certainly be something that I'd have my eye on. And lastly here, wide receiver versus edge. I went wide receiver over running back, but wide receiver versus edge is very interesting. I would probably go wide receiver rather than, I mean, go edge rather than wide receiver. But that's one of those things where I think it would depend on the name and what their skills are. If it's a speed demon wide receiver, that's just something I've had my eye on all offseason.
You want a home run hitter
when you bring in Deebo Samuel. I mean, you lose De'Ami Brown. I want the skill set of De'Ami Brown, right? And maybe even a better skill set, more speed. And really, with Jaden Daniels' ability to hit that deep ball, and, you know, this is going to be like this, that's his opportunity to hit the home run is having a guy that can just fly past everybody, Kevontae Turpin, you know, S there, and what he did for the Cowboys.
I know exactly what you want, Awad. You basically want De'Ami Brown, but actually consistent version of De'Ami Brown.
Yeah, and on a rookie contract, not being overpaid, because he will underdeliver. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to Awad Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. Take the show with you on the road. And if you're enjoying this show, AWOD Radio on Saturday mornings, you can check me out Monday through Friday in Richmond, 12 to 3 p.m., and always available on the Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan, and you'll know if you listen to the show, I was locked in all March long, committed to bringing you the latest bracketology every day in March and into April for the men's 2025 NCAA tournament. And I did want to just say, because things move on so quickly in the sports world, but the Final Four and the championship game were fantastic, and it saved, in my mind, it saved the 2025 NCAA tournament. When you think back on this year's tournament, are people really going to remember Aura, the manager for McNeese State? Are we going to remember the Crab 5 and Derek Queen shot off the glass? Are we going to remember the 48 hours after that, which was the Kevin Willard show, and him threatening and eventually leaving to Villanova? No Cinderella stories, no 11 seed or higher into the Sweet 16. Not many buzzer beaters, not many big moments. One shining moment was a lot of Blue Bloods, P4. SEC, these national champions, good for the Florida Gators. They had the biggest chance of winning it because you got 14 teams into the field of 68. That's a 20% chance of winning it all. It makes no sense to me how 14 of the 16 teams from one damn conference got into the tournament. But the Final Four in the championship game, in my mind, saved the 2025 NCAA tournament. Because those games were freaking awesome. And the sports world moves so quickly. Saturday, you played the Final Four. Monday was the championship game. And here we are, less than 7 days later. And we're moving on to the NBA playoffs and the NHL and the NFL draft. But I did want to take this time to really say that I thought that the Final Four and the championship game saved this year's tournament, because a lot of people have some fond memories from Florida and that unbelievable comeback there and their victory over Auburn, in which Walter Clayton Jr. was fantastic, and they erupted in the final 4 minutes of that game, and the insane upset of Houston over Duke. And it doesn't feel like an upset because it's a one seed defeating a one seed, but this was a Duke Blue Devils team that had the best freshman in the country in the Cooper Flag, had another great freshman, had some maybe the best shot blocker down low in Malawak, and three-point shooters left and right, and a coach that had really convinced these guys to play defense at an unbelievable level, and yet they fell apart. Somebody told me they picked the under 8 minute timeout as the time to turn mortal, and all of a sudden Kelvin Sampson, the Houston Cougars, were able to claw back into this thing. And Duke, I said to someone, Duke usually does this to teams. Duke usually does this to Maryland, Ben. But this time, it was the other side happening against Duke, and Houston came all the way back and made the winning plays, and they had the three-point shot for the tie. They miss it. Guy grabs the offensive rebound, dunks it back in. They get the steal, and then the foul on Cooper Flagg. Boom, they win the game. It still doesn't make any sense. And then we look ahead to that championship game that was this past Monday, and I really thought that that was incredible basketball. That was better than college basketball. That was better than the NBA. It was some weird mix in my mind of, it looked like semi-pro ball, because they didn't have the three-point stroke as the NBA players. I mean, both teams were below 25%. They were really struggling from shooting. All right, that was the one thing that was not as good as the NBA. But the defense was way better than the NBA. I mean, they just don't play any defense anymore in the league. But in college ball, I mean, Houston was playing incredible defense. Clayton Jr. couldn't do anything. He had 1 point throughout the entire game. The defense was just locked down. And then I just thought it was cool because the only times you could break through the defense, it felt like, were alley-oops and dunks. Like, it felt like the most of that first half, that was 31-28 Houston, was dunks, lobs, block shots, and layups. And that was most of what was this year's NCAA championship game in the first half. And then in the second half, Florida finally got going offensively. They don't win that game without Will Richards, 18 points. But in the clutch moments, it was Huff and it was Clayton Jr. And congratulations to Todd Golden, the head coach of the Florida Gators. In year three, they win the national championship. They're going to be loaded again next year with a 7'4" kid. I mean, it feels like in my lifetime when Florida wins it all, they go back-to-back. But I did want to just mention here, as I get a chance to talk to you guys every Saturday, I thought the final and the final four saved this year's tournament. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. So close the book on the 2025 men's college basketball NCAA tournament. I'm a hoops head. I'm always looking for that orange ball. Where's it going to bounce? In the NBA. As there is no NBA games today, but tomorrow, Sunday, April 13th, every team in the association plays, and the seedings will be finalized ahead of the NBA play-in tournament as we work towards next week's NBA playoffs. And I'll tell you who I'm rooting for right now in terms of this year's postseason. I'm all in on J.J. Redick and the Lakers, the podcaster turned basketball coach. I saw him play when he was in high school. He took down the Hayfield Hawks where my dad was a teacher, and I thought he was a fantastic three-point shooter. Then I hated him at Duke, but then I fell in love with him once again when he got to the NBA, and I really thought he was terrific as an analyst, and his Mind the Game podcast with LeBron was very smart and was like next level thinking. He's like, why don't I get LeBron on a podcast, try to convince him I'd be a good head coach, then maybe get hired. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, they need to make a movie out of this year's LA Lakers if year one for J.J. Redick, they win it all. And the massive trade of trading for Luka Doncic. It's a storyline that is too compelling not for me to be a fan of. I've really never been a Lakers fan before. I liked Kobe Bryant. I liked Kobe and Shaq, right? Liked watching Winning Time and the Lakers back then, but I've never supported the Showtime Lakers, that dynasty, until now. I'm also a LeBron hater, but now you add Luka and JJ. I just like it. It's good vibes, and they're not the favorites. They're not an underdog. I mean, they're a 50-win team now, and that's why they actually have a chance in this year's postseason, because they will get a home series. But the Lakers are one of the teams that I'm rooting for. I am a big fan of Anthony Edwards. I just don't think the Timberwolves have the star power. And I'd like to see Steph Curry do, you know, one last dance, one last NBA championship run with unbelievable three-point shooting. On the Eastern Conference side of things, I don't really know what I like. I don't like Boston. I like the Knicks a little bit. I don't think they're that good. I don't think they would beat any of the top four teams in the West if we got to the NBA Finals. We'll go on the fast break with AWOD, talk all things NBA, coming up next here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 got you covered both ends of the dial in the nation's capital. In Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. The NBA regular season concludes tomorrow. In the Eastern Conference, the Cavs have wrapped up the 1 seed, the Celtics the 2 seed, the Knicks the 3 seed, unless they lose and the Pacers win, Bucks are the 5th seed, Detroit's the 6th seed, Orlando, Atlanta, Chicago, and Miami are all in that play-in tournament. The rest of the East is eliminated. Washington at 17-64 will have a 14% chance of landing Cooper Flagg if they can win the lottery, get the number one overall pick. In the West, Oklahoma City Thunder, a fantastic 67-win campaign. Houston, surprising most, finishing second. LA is currently third, with Denver and the Clippers tied for fourth and fifth. Minnesota, Golden State, and Memphis tied for sixth and seventh. Actually, Memphis, after their latest loss, is locked into eighth into the play-in tournament. But the Timberwolves could actually move up to as much as fifth if they could get a win tomorrow to close out the regular season. We talk all things NBA here on The Fast Break with AWOD.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a fast break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
All right, so I'll start with my most intriguing storylines for the NBA postseason. If you'd like to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. We'll get you on the Fan Talk Basketball. It feels like everybody that I know that's a basketball fan is in a wait-and-see mode for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, first place by a full 15 games. If it was the Nuggets with a 15-game lead, people would say they're obviously getting to the Western Conference Finals. If it was the Lakers, if it was the Warriors, it'd be the same thing. The Thunder, it feels like they do still have to prove it, that they do belong and that they can represent the Western Conference. They have been so good at home this season. They've got home court throughout the rest of the postseason, but I don't love the matchups that they might have, like Memphis in the first round. I still have Oklahoma City winning that, but maybe Memphis can steal a game or two from them. The 7th seed in my mind in the Western Conference is the best spot to be in, because I would lock it in right now that Houston's not getting out of the first round. I mean, it's a cool story. Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Alperen Sengun. We got a cool young roster, but they're beat up right now, and they just don't have, I think, what it takes to win in the postseason. If it's Minnesota in that 7th seed, I'm taking Minnesota. If it's Golden State in that 7th seed, I'm taking Golden State. If it's the Clippers, I'm taking the Clippers. The Lakers at 3, like I said, that's the team I'm rooting for. I'm not, a front runner. It's the first time I've ever decided to go all in on the Lakers. I kind of have a soft spot for the Nuggets right now because I think it was completely bogus and unfair to fire Michael Malone before a postseason in which he earned a postseason run. If you're the head coach and your team wins 45-plus games, I don't care about a little four-game losing streak in April. You deserve to coach the team in the postseason. Facts are facts. It was a terrible move by ownership. They kind of did it so that he couldn't save himself by having a good playoff run, but you hurt the fan base. You really did. And now 4 of the last 6 NBA championship coaches are no longer coaches for their team. It doesn't make any sense. Clippers, can Kawhi Leonard and James Harden stay healthy and make a postseason run? I would vote no. And like I said, Golden State, I would love for Steph Curry to make one final run. I just don't think that, Jimmy Buckets and the rest of that squad has what it takes to get through the gauntlet that is this year's Western Conference. In the East, there's some interesting storylines. I really do like Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, but I don't think they can win the championship. I said it when it started. It feels like this is in line for Boston to roll through the East once again, get back to the finals, and maybe win it all once again. Cleveland has the best record. I would pick Boston over Cleveland in a series, 7-game series, 8 times out of 10. I think they've got a better roster. Cleveland's been playing some great basketball, and they won 64 games. You can't, make fun of that, but I just, Donovan Mitchell is their best player. He's not as good as Jason Tatum. Darius Garland's not as good as Jaylen Brown. Their centers aren't as good as what Boston has. I mean, Jared Allen's good, but he's not really a scorer like that. I don't see Cleveland getting to the Western Conference Finals or even getting out of the East. That's my take. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to line one. We've got Frank in Richmond. You're on the Fan with AWOD. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
So, just a few thoughts. I did see in recent weeks, I've seen the Knicks. The Knicks are not going to win or come out of the East. There's something missing. I can't tell you necessarily what that is because Brunson is amazing. He's a gamer, and but watching Boston, I feel like they save their energy till the second half, and then they start to turn it up, and teams fall apart. They've got a lot of weapons. That Porzingis character is standing 30 feet from the basket, shooting missiles the other night. You know, how do you guard that?
Right, and they don't need him. They won it all last year without him being a contributor at all.
Yes, I mean, he's. How do you guard him? I don't know how you guard him. And you know, White is a terrific player who doesn't get enough credit. Brown is physically the most impressive guy other than LeBron in the NBA. But the team you haven't been talking about is Cleveland. The Cavs have the best record, I think, in their history, and or tied with their best record ever when LeBron took them to the championship.
Yeah.
I think you've got to watch them because they have 10 contributors. And the theory was to save Mitchell from having to carry them on his back during the regular season. And they've rested him recently with the idea that he would have more isolation plays, I guess, here in the playoffs.
Yeah. But what's interesting, Frank, is you're right. They're one of the deepest teams. I mean, they've got a half a UVA roster with Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter. Max Strus was a big piece of a Miami Heat team that went all the way. I mean, they have a bunch of role players. I'm just not sure those role players could come together and defeat the Celtics, right?
Yes, that's a good
the
point.
Issue for them. And even I don't know if they could defeat the Pacers or the Bucks. I mean, those two teams I think have maybe a higher ceiling with the star power of guys like Giannis and Tyrese Halliburton.
I don't think Cleveland is afraid of them though. I've watched Cleveland off and on this year, and even more so since DeAndre got traded over, which I still don't understand how the Hawks would let him go. I mean, that's just mind-numbing. But Ty Jerome and DeAndre together on the court in this college reunion scheme, they play beautifully together. And there's something about Cleveland. I just don't think you can say because of the Greek Freak or whomever that these other teams are going to get past them. I think Cleveland's going to be in the Eastern Championship games. They're going to make that round.
And, now, and then
it'll
be Boston.
Can they get past the Celtics?
Yeah.
Can they get past the Celtics? You know, Jason Tatum is a killer, you know? I just don't know. I think people that follow the NBA very, very closely are going to lean towards Tatum and the Celtics, but something's going on in Cleveland, too. It's not an accident they've had this amazing season.
Yeah.
And Ty Jerome has played his way into a big contract next year.
Oh, yeah. Frank, I appreciate you chiming in. We got to take a quick commercial break here. I think it would be an incredible storyline if you had LeBron and the Lakers against his old team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in the NBA Finals. But as we gear up for the play-in tournament and then the postseason, I will go on record here. Ben, you can save this audio, send it to all the producers Monday through Friday, and let them know AWOD called it. All right? I am going. Boston Celtics against the L.A. Lakers, this year's NBA Finals. Lock it in. I appreciate you calling, Frank. We got to run. We're taking a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.